Hi, Gigi. You mentioned that the dark priests of Atlantis took refuge in the inner earth following the destruction of Atlantis. And from there, they are on a mission to enslave humanity. I'm curious about the fate of the enlightened Atlantean priesthood. Where did they go? And do they have an influence over humanity as well? Okay, so this is actually a really important question because we have to grasp that our post-Atlantean epoch, which is also previously called sometimes the Aryan epoch, is basically a continuation and recapitulation of much earlier eras or much earlier epochs. So there's a tendency in modern culture to fragment and to sort of truncate things into a small fragment and to operate as though that fragment is the only thing that exists. And it just keeps getting more and more and more oversimplified and overreduced until our understanding of each other and the world is so profaned, it doesn't make sense anymore. And so this is like a Tower of Babel thing that's going on. The way we begin to prepare our consciousness and truly understand the events that are going on in the world, good and bad, is by understanding that we are in large cycles of development on the planet. And there have been past civilizations and really past eras of consciousness in which humanity has been developing and in which this epoch is only one of. Okay. So when we understand not only the events in those epochs, but also the kind of consciousness and form that humanity had, then we're starting to cook with gas. Then we're starting to be able to have an appropriate and holistic view of the world. But we can't have that view until we understand these past eras. It's impossible. Okay. So in Atlantis, there was a battle between dark and light. And in many mystical texts, many different people, not even mystics, but philosophers and people who had nothing, scientists, people who had nothing to do with mysticism, have talked about Atlantis and Lemuria. And if you look at Blavatsky, she ended up calling the dark group in Atlantis Lords of the Dark Face. And then she just called the light group, basically the white magicians. The Edgar Cayce work is the most extensive psychic work on Atlantis to date. There has been no psychic, including myself, obviously, that has gone into Atlantis as deeply as Edgar Cayce has, especially in the personal level of detail and nuance that he did with his trance work and the personal readings that he did. Many of those are not even translated for public consumption. So there is a precedent and basis for Atlantis. And in the Cayce work, the dark lords of Atlantis, or the dark magicians, are called Belial, which is kind of similar to Baal, which means the great liar or the liar, which is also the meaning of basically Satan, right? The king of lies, the lord of lies, Belial, Baal. So we even see this stream, this negative dark stream of Atlantean magicians, this impulse, we see it even carrying into our post-Atlantean era under the influence of Baal, which ends up meaning dark lord eventually. And so the light group was called the Amelius group. And this is the group in the Atlantean epoch that really embodied the Christ impulse. The Belial group embodied the Antichrist impulse. Okay, so we can still even factor in Christ in Atlantis, although the Christ being and the Christ impulse does not centralize in one human. As we see with Jesus in the post-Atlantean epoch, the Christ impulse is still present. It's still the evolutionary impulse. It's still the solar impulse. So the higher group is called Amelius in the Cayce work. And they are like a precursor to what the Essenes were and what the higher mystery schools of the light are in the post-Atlantean era. And that impulse carried along just as well. And so the problem, I think, lies in, I think with understanding this is understanding form. Okay. So the dark priesthoods of Atlantis were basically embodying the fallen Mars impulse. And this is information that is for this time. The Mars impulse is to be understood for this time and could only be talked about from this time forward. The Lemurian period is the fallen Venus impulse. Okay, it's the fallen Venusian impulse. That's where you get the Lucifer story and the fall of the angels in that particular epoch. There's a fall of angels as well in Atlantis, but it takes on a different character than it does in Lemuria. In Lemuria, we see the fall of the angels happening in a more natural way, almost. In Atlantis, with this intense interest in technology and the externalization impulse, the materialization impulse that goes crazy in Atlantis, we see a different kind of fall of the angels, okay? Which is these Martian beings that are arriving from an externalization from through the use of technology rather than transforming themselves. So we have a different dynamic of the fall happening again in Atlantis, and the dark magicians take on the character of the fallen Mars impulse, just like the fallen Lemurian took on the fallen Venus impulse. Okay, this makes Mercury the transformative impulse for humanity, which is why you get the story of Hermes or Hermes and the Mercury staff and all of the alchemical secrets around Mercury, which is the overcoming of the fallen Mars impulse and the fallen Venus impulse, or the Luciferic impulse and the Armonic impulse. Okay, that Mercury is also Christ, which is Venus transformed, or a higher developmental scheme within actually Venus, if you want. I know that's getting a little complex, but that's the cosmology. That's the astral cosmology. So the problem is that at the end of the Atlantean period, because the darker priesthood had take such an obsessive take on form, they could not exist in the sun. And they were constantly struggling to actually stay in the human life way because they came to the planet through an external means rather than through an internal means, meaning they didn't manifest here through their own power. They had to create an external mechanism. They had to externalize their Merkaba in order to get here, which is a sin. It was allowed, but it is fundamentally unnatural. So they end up becoming an unnatural impulse on the planet that we're facing today. So that impulse, those dark magicians from Atlantis, cannot live on the surface. That's the problem. They can't live amongst normal human beings because they were never part of the earthly life wave. Now, the higher beings, the higher angels, and the priesthoods that would communicate with them naturally, that makes up the light brotherhoods and sisterhoods. So natural communication through sacrifice, through love, through internal transmutation, that allows you to actually merge with higher planes. So you're not trying to come here externally, avoiding internal work. The higher brotherhoods and sisterhoods would allow the higher streams to flow through them, and through that flowing through them, transform them and transform the world. So higher angelic beings work through humanity, just like they work through the elemental kingdoms, just like they work through nature. Okay, no higher angelic being works upon the physical form with like genetic modification or something, or works upon the form for change. It's ridiculous. Okay, it is the way that somebody becomes like a bodhisattva, right, which existed in Atlantis as well, is that you actually have a higher angel, like an archangel, that overshadows you. and that streams into you and that initiates you by helping you transform your physical body into a glorified etheric body. So basically begins to work with you directly every day of your life so that you transform yourself out of the physical plane, which is known now in Christianity as the resurrection mysteries or the building of the resurrection body. So basically our whole earthly existence is to one day be able to resurrect or release ourselves from the mortal coil, the tomb that is the earth, the material tomb that is the earth. That's the whole point of our development, is to transform ourselves out of this little by little by little at first and then all at once when we build that resurrection body. So this is to say that the higher priesthoods and sisterhoods, they continued to work properly with the spiritual forces. They continued the traditional initiation process of working with these higher beings and having these incredibly higher forces overshadow you in the astral to actually help you transform your being, which is called also the spiritual economy in anthroposophy and the sharing of these astral and etheric bodies. And so through the influx of the spiritual fire, you know, you see these light bearers. Yes, you are lit a fire by overlapping and overshadowing with these higher beings. And that's why you'll also see these images of these angels standing over people. And even at Bodhisattva level and Buddha level, these higher incredible beings that are actually working through the person, and the person has dedicated themselves completely to service, which prepares you for what life truly is, which is a communion with God and with everyone else as a part of God. So the higher priesthoods just simply maintained the natural order of spiritual connection and initiation. And so the spiritual beings, which many, like when people start calling like angels, aliens and stuff, this is Mars stuff. These are the beings that came externally that are technically fallen angels, but there's nothing alien about them because when you're talking about angels, they're literally enmeshing with your higher bodies, initiating you and helping you transform yourself. There's nothing alien about that. It's just spiritual initiation 101. So this means that obviously you have the transformation of the human consciousness and the transformation of the human form to having gradually higher organs of perception through enmeshing with your higher angel or your higher self or archangels. So that is the core of initiation. And when you became a very high initiate in a brotherhood or a sisterhood, it had meant that you had taken on so much of these forces into your eye, into your personal identity, that now you were becoming like them. You know, so you don't lose your identity when this happens. This is actually how you understand your eyes and the presence of these great beings that forms as kind of like a mirroring. So there's lots that can be said about this, but the higher priesthoods and sisterhoods just continued on. And they, of course, would have gone at the end of the Atlantean civilization, which we usually recognize as being around 11,000 years ago, 9,000, sometime around there, 10,000 years ago. That's when you see the flooding of certain areas of the earth. Every single culture has a flood myth, you know, so we have to acknowledge that. And so, of course, the higher priesthoods would have taken refuge as well, whether it be in sort of mountaintops or in certain inner earth areas. But the difference is that because they were evolving with the planet and with time properly, they get to come to the earth and live on top of the earth and evolve with the sun and do all these things because they've been transforming themselves with the Christ impulse through their own spiritual work and union with these forces since the beginning, you know, so they're not going to be destroyed by the impulses coming from the sun. They're not trying to force their way into the human life wave. They're the people who essentially are dedicated to serving humanity to be able to transform themselves from inner forces. So they end up, usually these mystery schools, they don't take an aggressive, approach to humanity and society. They're not looking to hoard up all of the wealth in the world and control you. They're not playing those games at all. That's what the dark forces do, because they want to so desperately live parasitically off of humanity by creating these crises. The higher forces, they seek to inject humanity, metaphorically speaking here, from the astral and from teachers that teach with higher knowledge and wisdom that is needed. And it is up to the public, it is up to humanity to take that on and to turn their heads towards the light. And even to raise these people on their shoulders and say, this is the leadership that we want. And at every point in earthly development, there has been a good leader that could lead humanity into a better place. But it is the public, it is people, it's us that turn their back on that. They don't want that. They want the entertainment. They want the conflict. They want the strife. They're not wanting that. And that's the problem, is that these higher groups that have existed since Atlantis, right, they're not going to force themselves on you. They have too much love and respect for you to do that, right? But the lower forces will.